Have you heard the news? Have you heard the news? Did you hear about it? Did you hear about it? Did you hear about it, guys? Did you hear the news? Have you heard the good news? Do you know what the good news is? Have you heard the news? Did you hear about it? Did you hear about it? Do you know what the good news is? You know, Mary and Martha, Mary and the women, they went to the temple or to the tomb this morning, and the tomb was empty. And then Jesus showed up to the disciples there, and I almost fell off the stage. You know what the news is? He is risen! Hallelujah! And with that, the victory of the cross is complete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 May God put that excitement in us at all times. That the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection, would bring life in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you allowed the beauty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to wash over you? Do you know what that means? Do I know what that means? I don't think any of us will fully understand what that means until we walk through the gates. And then we'll spend the rest of eternity learning what the resurrection of Christ means for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to spend a bit of time reading some scripture this morning. I'm going to start out in Luke chapter 23, verse 55, and then read all of chapter 24. Hallelujah. Luke 23:55. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Hallelujah. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was departed from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. What do you think might have been going through the minds of the disciples, the followers of Jesus? So Jesus was crucified on Friday. What was going through their minds Friday night as they went to bed, and Saturday when they got up? All day probably just didn't seem right. Can you imagine the thoughts that are going through their minds? What was the last 3 years about? Who was this man? Was he really who he said he was? Was he actually the Messiah? Because this isn't what we had pictured in a Messiah. Did we make a mistake in following this man? Perhaps Peter thought, how much farther ahead would I have been in my fishing business had I not been following Jesus? Maybe Matthew thought, you know, not sure what I felt when Jesus called me out of that tax collector's booth. I was sure it was the right thing, but I don't know, maybe I should have just stayed there. I don't know. The Bible doesn't give us an insight into what the disciples were thinking exactly. There's some maybe glimpses. When you think of, I think it's in John, it talks about Thomas. Even after he heard about the resurrection, he said, I'm not going to believe unless I put my fingers in his nail prints, put my hand in his side. Even these, the ones that we read about here on the road to Emmaus, they said, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We thought it was him. But now what? A dead man can't redeem Israel? Or can he? No, not a dead man, but a resurrected man can. Hallelujah. Not a resurrected man only, but the Son of God, the resurrected Son of God. Hallelujah. But what was going through their minds? We don't know. Have you ever found yourself in that place of, is this Jesus really who he says he is? Is there really a God that's worth worshiping? Is he really worth worthy of my life? Is it worth giving everything that I have to seek him and to walk with him? Have you ever found yourself in that place? You know, I was thinking about it. We all have battles. And you hear of people that are tempted to believe that there is no God. The enemy says, come on. Really? A God? Come on. It's just all happened by accident. Can that really be? Then you have other people who doubt that the blood of Jesus is enough to cleanse their sins. The enemy says, yeah, that Bible has some pretty amazing stuff in it, doesn't it? But do you think it really worked for you? Come on. You're pretty dirty. You know one thing about a liar? His stories never match up. He tells one person there is no God, and he tells the next person he's not good enough for God. No, hold on, time out. That's a conflict. Either there is a God or there isn't a God. You know, the other thing about a liar is you can never believe what he says. So if the enemy is telling you this morning that you've gone too far, tell him to take a hike. He is wrong. He knows he's wrong. The other thing about a liar, they know they're lying. And usually they don't care. If you're tempted to believe that there is no God, how in the world do you account for everything that you see around you? Some big bang? Oh, come on. For real? I don't know what the lies are that the enemy is trying to tell each of us this morning. But I do know that anything coming out of his mouth has an evil intent. Will he tell truth? Yes, he may tell truth. He may tell part truth. But there will always be some sort of false accusation, some kind of false statement mixed in there. Doesn't matter what the lie is that the enemy is telling you, you can believe the opposite. He will never tell you the whole truth. And by the way, enemy, yes, the blood of Jesus is enough to cleanse each and every one here. If you're doubting that, I'm here to tell you this morning with assurance that the blood of Jesus is enough for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what is it that gives us this hope? We know that Jesus died on the cross for us, for our sins, to take our sins away. But why is it that has so much power? It's because of the resurrection. And don't look to me to dive into the depths of what all that means, because I don't have my mind fully wrapped around all that the resurrection encompasses. Like I said, I don't know that any of us will fully understand what the resurrection means to us until we get to heaven. And then we'll probably spend eternity figuring out and learning what the resurrection was for. But it's because of the resurrection that we have hope. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. And not just hope, but like we sang this morning, a living hope. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in at verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Hallelujah. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. If Christ did not rise again, we may as well close up the doors, go home, stop renting this building, find something else to do with our time and our money. But please don't stop in verse 19. If in this life we have life only. We have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Please go on to verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Hallelujah. Because he has risen, we have a hope, a living hope. Because he has risen, we can continue walking with him and seeking after him and experiencing him. Because he is risen, we have hope that our lost friends and loved ones will find hope. Because he is risen, we have the hope of the resurrection in the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he is risen, I can look to him for victory over those things that are in my life that I need victory over. Because he is risen, every answer that you and I need is available to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. A lively hope. Thank you, Jesus. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Is your faith and hope in anything other than God? One of the things that God has been doing in my life is bringing me to that point where I recognize more and more and more that I have no other hope. There is no hope outside of Christ. Not in my works, not in my lineage, not in the church I go to, even if I'm at prayer meeting Tuesday morning early. That has nothing to do with my hope. My hope is solely and completely fixed on Jesus Christ, his blood, and his resurrection. Hallelujah. Is that where your hope lies? I love verse 8 there. Back up into verse 7 a little bit. Well, just read all of verse 7 again. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can you rejoice in something you haven't seen? By faith. Jesus told Thomas, ye believe because you have seen. Remember, Thomas said that I won't believe unless I put my fingers in the nail prints and put my hand in his side. And then Jesus showed up and said, Thomas, here I am. Put your fingers in my nail prints. Put your hand in my side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, you've believed because you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Oh, hallelujah. May God grant us the faith to believe him, to believe his word. And with that faith comes that ability to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Keep going, brothers and sisters. Keep going. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The enemy is going to continue lying. Bible says that he is the father of every lie. He will continue lying. Count on it. Count on it. And my experience has been the longer I walk with God, I don't know if I want to say the lies increase, but they definitely change form. If he can't get you here, he'll get you there. If he can't get you there, he'll try to get you here. If he can't get you here, he keeps moving from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. If he can't get you to believe that there is no God, then he's going to try to get you to believe that you're not good enough for God. If you won't believe that, then he'll try to get you enticed into some sin. It doesn't matter what it is, folks. He's going to continue lying, 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 lying. And you don't have to believe those lies. Hallelujah. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end. Continue to fix your eyes on Christ. Hallelujah. For as much, in verse 18, as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, and that blood is enough. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians 15 again, the end of the chapter now. I want to talk just a little bit yet here in closing about the resurrection of the final day. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain, brothers and sisters. There is a day coming. The resurrection, the final resurrection is coming. The revelation of Jesus Christ is coming. That day is coming. Don't grow weary in well-doing. There's a reason for what we do. There's a reason that we continue to preach this gospel. There's a reason we continue to seek his face. It's not in vain, as the enemy would have us believe. Whether he's telling you that there's no God to hear you or that the God that's there will not hear you. It's not in vain. It's a living hope. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Finally, in Revelation 22... Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Do you desire the water of life? There's the invitation. It's wide open. Let him whosoever will come and freely take the water of the life. Because Jesus not only died, he also rose again. He is risen.